Peace be with you. This is the greeting when the early Christians met. The reason why they say that, because it is very important for them to have peace. And of course, shalom, which is a standard greeting word of the Hebrews, but for those early Christians, especially those who are under persecution, they will know there will be peace the next moment. So peace be with you carry a lot of meaning. For us in 2020, peace be with you also carry a lot of weight, because we never know when COVID will strike. And peace is all the more important. Now, finally, 2020 is behind us. Living in 2020 is like struggling in the desert at times. Desert, wilderness at times. We may feel like we are struggling because there is some lacking. We somehow lack something. Now, nowadays, we can pretty much purchase whatever we need. A year ago, people began to fight for toilet paper. Then we are scouring for masks. In reality, we find ourselves lacking nothing, but somehow there's anxiety, there's worry deep down in our heart. We are not sure where the next box of masks would come from. Isn't it true we have the same mentality like those Israelites traversing the wilderness? They lack nothing from the beginning till end, not even their safety. Somehow they worry and occasionally grumbled. Now we are in 2021 and we can see the light from the other end of the long tunnel. It seems we will enter into the land of Canaan. What is your feeling? Maybe I should also ask, what is my feeling? We are seeing the end of it, but we are not quite. The book of Ezra recorded a similar situation, a time of anticipation. The book of Moses says little about anticipation, but Ezra does. It recorded the anticipation of the rebuilding of Jerusalem temple and all. Yet it will not happen overnight. The future is filled with uncertainties. This is the same feeling of anxiety and uncertainties. Those who waited for the rebuilding of Jerusalem and we waited to go back to our normal, may it be new normal. For us Christians, we waited to resume our worship together and we can touch each other. Can we really resume our worship with a worshipful heart and back into Jerusalem? The books of Ezra and Nehemiah gives us this revelation. LGC will study Ezra and Nehemiah in 2021. We will preach on Ezra from January to April and Nehemiah from July to October. Those two books are actually one book divided into two. So we will use 2021 to read through those two. The book of Ezra is a record of the return from exile. Jews from Jerusalem were captured by Babylonians 70 years ago and deported to Babylon. Now they are returning home. We can see the gradual change from the Old Testament to New Testament. It is not only a description of understanding how the Bible description has changed. It is a gradual change of spirituality from an OT mentality to a New Testament mentality. The core has not changed, but we can see the time has transformed the way we worship. Rebuild and renew is the focus of these two books. 2021 is just a year of rebuild and renew. We cannot deny we have to rebuild something after 2020. And we cannot deny we have to renew in 2021. When we dive ourselves into the experiences of Ezra and Nehemiah, we may learn a thing or two from the experiences, pointing a way for our new year. The very first chapter of Ezra started like this. In order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. So Ezra tells us changing of God in politics or the change of dynasties are all in the hand of God. Israel, the northern kingdom, was annihilated in BC 772 by the Assyrian Empire. Another 150 years, Judah, the southern kingdom, was wiped out by a new regime, by the Babylonian Empire, in BC 587. Then come the time of Ezra. The edict from Cyrus the Great, the first emperor of Persia, took charge. As far as we know, during the rise of Cyrus, Babylon has already weakened and had become a vassal state of the Median Empire. So Cyrus was also a vassal state of Median Empire, but he rose and defeated Medes and took over as the next big emperor. He then annihilated Babylon and was declared the emperor of the whole Near Eastern land. Now, looking back from the beginning of the end of the northern kingdom Israel, it was defeated by Assyria. Assyria, Babylon, Medes, and now we have Cyrus the Persian. Four dynasties has changed hands. But when Jeremiah prophesied, Cyrus was nowhere to be found. Jeremiah didn't know who is Cyrus, and he wouldn't know that Cyrus would become the king he would be. When the Babylonian Empire was at the height of power, they conquered and pillaged. They took the city walls of the city. Ultimately, they destroyed the temples or shrines of the cities. When I take down your city wall, I take away your physical safety. Now you depend on me for your physical safety because I have taken down your wall. Robbers, bandits will come and loot your spoils, and you depend on me for your physical protection. But when I take down your temple, it means I take away your spiritual strength. You have no God to fall back on. You have no temple to worship, and you have no God. Your spiritual home is destroyed. You will have to depend on me to supply you with physical safety and spiritual security. So at one point, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian emperor, demanded his subject to worship him and him alone. And we all learn it from the book of Daniel. In this way, Babylon crushed the will of the conquered. This is the reason why Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the temple of God and plundered the treasures. It does not matter how cruel was Nebuchadnezzar, how mighty his army, or even how clever was his means to govern and conquer. His empire did not last more than 25 years after his death. Nebuchadnezzar was indeed a mighty king. He built a Babylonian empire, which is huge, and the boundary reached far and wide. but within 25 years of his death. Babylonian Empire is no more. It was taken over by another empire, the Medes. It was replaced by an even crueler Median Empire. But not 100 years passed. Cyrus the Great destroyed the Median Empire completely. Ezra 1:1 is very meaningful here. Ezra said, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Now, what did Jeremiah say? Therefore, this is what the Lord of armies says. Because you have not obeyed my word, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord. And I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all those surrounding nations. And I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and hissing and an everlasting place of ruins. Moreover, I will eliminate from them the voice of jubilation and the voice of joy, the voice of the groom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This entire land will be a place of ruins and an object of horror. And these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then it will be, when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord, for their wrongdoings and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. I will bring upon that land all my word, which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings will make slaves of them even then, and I will repay them according to the deeds and according to the work of their hands. When Ezra wanted to tell us the return from exile after 70 years, he wanted us to know one thing. He wanted us to know they are all in the hands of God. It is not an accident, or it is merely incidental. On the surface, Cyrus seems to be the king who caused the return. Indeed, Cyrus decreed the return to Jerusalem. When Nebuchadnezzar was conquering the world in his cruelty, Cyrus was nowhere to be found. He was not even born yet. In the same vein, when Jeremiah prophesied an even stronger and bigger empire, the Persian Empire will take over after two dynasties have passed. Instead of using high pressure and cruel means to govern, this Cyrus decided to treat his subject gently. Archaeologists found historical record, the Cyrus Cylinder, which is a record of how Cyrus would allow the Babylonians to have free speech and freedom to worship. This policy is applied to all Cyrus conquered land. Cyrus basically rejected the Babylonian and the Median way. Yet this is prophesied 70 years ago. It is not up to Nebuchadnezzar, and it is not up to Cyrus. It is God who is working behind the scene and make it all happen. The governing policy by Cyrus was unheard of in the ancient Near East and will not be practiced by many yet. Cyrus did it and did it thoroughly throughout his kingdom. God has told his people 70 years ahead of time. It's not by man's doing. 70 years is not a short time. LGC started only 40 years ago, but now we only have a handful of our founding members in the church. In another 30 years, when we celebrate the 70th anniversary, not many of them will be able to come back to church to celebrate. For whatever experience they have carried in the last 7 years will no longer be seen or heard. Yet the promise of God will still continue without interruption. It really doesn't matter if it's 40 years, it really doesn't matter if it's 70 years or 100 years. God's promise will still be kept because God keeps his promise. Whatever God promised, he will fulfill. It does not matter how many kings has come and gone. It does not matter how many times Jupiter, Saturn have conjoined. What God has promised, when the time comes, it will be fulfilled. Our world has just gone through an invisible war in 2020. Wave after wave of infections very much pressure us into submission. As of this time, we are still bracing for a surge of COVID cases after the holidays. When the time becomes uncertain, the prophet Jeremiah prophesied about the certainty of return from exile. As we speak of prophecy, actually, we may change an angle to look at prophecy as promise. The word prophecy can carry a mysterious connotation. Actually, as far as biblical prophecy is concerned, there is no mystery. Peeling away the layers and layers of linguistic and cultural myth, biblical policy is all about us. A promise to us human, especially Christians. A promise of hope and a promise to return to God. This is the good news. Whenever we can return to God and be beside God, it's a blessing. Think about it. We often quoted Isaiah 9:6 during Christmas. It says, "For a child will be born to us." So it's a prophecy. We'll be born. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This is prophecy. But it is even more important to understand what Isaiah was prophesying. This is a prophecy about a savior. A savior of whom? A savior of us. A prophecy of salvation for us. When he is the wonderful counselor, when he is the everlasting father, when he is the almighty God, and when he is the Prince of Peace, they are all for us. This is not a mystery. It is not shrouded in mysterious layers. God will come to us and save us for his wonderful counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. After we heard it from God, we know we are saved. So this is also a promise from God. Fulfilling of prophecy is also a promise kept. One prophecy after another prophecy, we slowly realized what is important in God's eyes. In subsequent description of Ezra, we begin to realize. First, God cares very much about worship. Cyrus decrees was to ask or to allow all nations to return to their own home to rebuild their worshiping space, place. To Jews, the center of worship is the temple. Temple may not seem very important to us or significant to us. However, it is the single most important symbol of worship for all the Jews. The temple to us now is only a tourist place. In Israel, when we go to Israel to go to Jerusalem, we cannot even see the temple because it is now a mosque. But to the Jews, temple is the very symbol of God's presence. In fact, returning to the temple to worship is not only a command from God, it is the pinnacle of a Jew's life. In the 150 Psalms we read, so we know the book of Psalms has 150 Psalms, and 15 of them are designated as hymns of ascent. Psalm 120 to 134 are designated as hymn of ascent. What is a hymn of ascent? Hymn of ascent is hymns to sing while going up to Jerusalem, to the temple to worship. One-tenth of the Psalms is dedicated to write about people who long to go to worship. They are on the way to worship. They talk about their happiness. They talk about their joy. They talk about their anticipation to go to the house of the Lord to worship. During our most difficult time, we realize the single one most important activities of the church is to worship. For the last year, the one single most important ministry of the church is worship. If you are an insider enough, and you know that LGC always receive complaints, and in 2020, the church has received a lot of complaints for what? For its worship. I'm not saying in a negative way, because all our focus, all our energy, and suddenly we realize this is the important thing, so we concentrate in worship. We finally realize that worship is the single most important activity of the church. In China, after 1980, new churches were rebuilt. And beginning in 2014, the government began to take down the cross of many churches. And one of the places that the church's cross was taken down is in Wanzhou. And this is one of the places in China that have the most concentrated population of Christians. And the Christians there are wealthy. So they pour money into rebuilding the church. So they build the church big, they build the church beautiful, and they build the church tall, and each church have a big red cross on top of the church. Sometimes, aesthetically, it may not look very nice, but they want it this way. And there were some Christians criticizing one of the reasons why, because the church has been built so big and so flashy that God has taught them a lesson, so the cross has to be torn down because God wants to teach them a lesson that extravagance is not appropriate for the church. But those critics have never understand one thing. They were sitting in their armchairs comfortably to criticize. They never realized how difficult a church can come by since 1949 to 1980s, Christians have had very difficult time to go to church to worship. They have seen their church being torn down during Cultural Revolution, and they have seen their church being occupied by factories, kindergarten, or the church is simply occupied by a family. And they could not go back to the church to worship again. And now this is the time they rebuild the church. They want to tell the world that this is important for us. The church is very important for us. Because in this church, we worship our God. We are asked to worship. The very first thing Ezra went back to Jerusalem is to rebuild the church. And the second thing God wants us to do is to prepare our heart to worship. And every survivor, at whatever place he may live, the people of that place are to support him with silver and gold, with equipment and cattle, together with voluntary offering of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. This sentence looks like they are just going to offer up material things. And actually, it also talks about they are asking people to volunteer to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the church, to rebuild the temple. God is asking us not only to offer material goods, but ourselves, so that worship and the temple will be rebuilt again. Of course, we do not have to rebuild LCC. There's no physical building we need to rebuild. But do we need to rebuild our spirituality? Do we have to prepare ourselves to give up ourselves voluntarily to rebuild our spirituality? And this is the time God asks us to begin anew, when we think about renewal, when we think about rebuilding, let's prepare our heart. I will strongly encourage you. Now the English prayer meeting has changed to the time after service. Now I will urge you to join the prayer meeting after service, that we may get together to pray, to prepare ourselves, to offering up ourselves to worship God. Get our life straight. And this is the call from God. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you because you are asking us to come back to you. This is your promise, and we are heeding your call to return to worship to start year 2021. Lord, help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.